Welcome, Jets fans. We're here today for our regular catch-up with Newcastle Jets CEO Laurie McKenna. It's becoming a regular fixture for this podcast, and it's something that we are always very grateful of Laurie giving up his time. Joining me today, well, first of all, I'm David, and I'll be joined by Grant here at Jets HQ. Grant, how are you?
Very good, thank you. Glad to be here.
And the man himself, Laurie McKenna, how are you doing?
Good, very good. Just back for Hong Kong. Ready to go to the World Cup.
Very good. Well, Hong Kong is going to be something that we're going to talk about, obviously, later on. And we're here today to ask you the questions from the fans through the various social media and forums that we've said to people that we're going to be speaking with you and the opportunity to answer your questions. So thanks again, as always, for your time.
No problem. I saw it on Facebook yesterday. I shared that.
Yeah.
Don't know if you're getting responses from that one, but I definitely shared that. And I'm always happy to be open and transparent.
Well, we've got a few questions that are coming your way, but first of all, look, let's just start. It was a fantastic season for the Jets, 2017-18. How would you summarise that season in terms of your terms of football and just how the clubs moved forward from that?
You know, okay, we made the grand final, which is amazing. Having a home grand final, even better. But this is the season, look, we turn over the W League, we turn over the academy, so it's been a big year for the club internally as well. You know, we've got 11 academy teams, the W League team, the youth team, and the A League team. So we're not just one team now, which has been in the past. So we've got a lot of arms and legs now going about, and a lot of Jets players running about. Whether you're an under 14 or an A League player, you're part of Newcastle Jets. So that's really encouraging. But the season, just great. Ernie's came in as we thought and did well. We signed good players. We had a lot of injuries to key players and suspensions. So it wasn't as though these key players got us through. The squad got us through to that grand final. And I think that's what was really good about the season. Your Hoffmans, your Kantorowskis, guys that maybe in the past fans would have said, oh, you should get rid, you should move them, been here too long, whatever. These guys were outstanding under Ernie. Naboo stepped up. Demi Petrados had his best year in the A-League, and now he's in the Socceroos squad. So a lot of boys stepped up. A lot of the young ones came through as well. Joe Champness and Katrumbas did well the year before anyway, but he came in. Ivan came in as well. So I think the squad itself was the encouraging thing. But to have a home grand final, close to 30,000 people, sold out in a day in the Hunter, was just amazing.
It's certainly probably the most exciting time to be a Jets fan, certainly the last 10 years. It was, I think you touched on some really good points there about the squad, the depth that it was tested, and how people with it, or how the players within that squad really stepped up from an A-League perspective. And I don't think that it should be glossed over at all. I'm not saying that you are, but the W-League qualifying for the finals as well for the first time in 10 years as well.
Deansy done a great job, pulled the team together really late, and that's just to make up the girls game. But to go down to that semi-final in Sydney, I think I was overseas, I was listening to it online, and the crowd, and it was just so close, and Hannah Brewer getting sent off again. It's amazing finals how results decisions don't go our way, and Hannah gets sent off, and it's probably a bit soft, but the girls showed great spirit, came back into the game, and I think we're one of the biggest followed W League teams. And instead of playing so many double headers next year, we've actually put in for more standalone games at number two, because we got about 1,500 that one game we had, and we spoke to the girls. If we'd have got if we'd have got the final, we'd have played it at number two, because that's where the girls wanted to play. It was their crowd. It's not rent a crowd for the boys playing or after the boys playing. It's their crowd. So we want to push that, because we reckon with the W League brand that we can get 2,000 or 3,000 people come to watch them at number two.
Yeah, for sure.
Martin Lee, he set the goal when he first came in of qualification for the Asian Champions League within the first 3 years. And while we haven't fully qualified for the group stages, we are going to go through the knockout phase. And he's achieved, well, under his ownership of the club, it's been achieved within the second season. Was he satisfied with the year?
Oh, he was buzzing, you know. And the year before, obviously, he was upset at the end of the season. You know, we dropped off those last six games. But he believed in what we're doing and the changes we made at the club. And then this season, you know, yeah, Champions League. And it would have been great to win the grand final straight into the Champions League, but we're in it. Mm. You know, we've paid bonuses out on it to some players.
Yeah.
So we're in that. who would have thought it, but we're there a year early. But the big thing is now, that's great, but we want to qualify for the next year. We don't want to just be a flash in the pan. You know, we've came a long way in this year, and I think if we work hard enough, we can stay there. Now, we have to look at ourselves as a big club, not just the regional. Us and the Mariners as regional clubs, and we're in there battling. We see ourselves as bigger than that now. We've set the standards. We can't go backwards now. And I don't think Ernie's wanting to go backwards. Any players are wanting to go backwards. And Martin Lee certainly enjoyed the semi-final. And even though the final, you know, even he came out for the semi-final, he said, look, regardless of the results now on, the club has achieved so much. He's over the moon. And that was nice. We actually got him to say that to the players as well, because it was a huge improvement. And he's a very happy boss.
Now, Laurie, look, the grand final, the atmosphere was fantastic. And that march from all the fans from West was just amazing. And you could see that there was a true buzz now. But after that, after the adrenaline rush is over, Owen Keats has asked just in the following days, what's the mood like in the squad and the club itself? Did it take long? I imagine you've moved on, but what was the feeling?
You have to move on. You can't dwell, because if you dwell in the past, and that's life in general, if you dwell in the past, you're not going to go anywhere. We had a function that night back at down at the waterfront at the brewery, and we had the players, the wives. We had a private function upstairs, and I thought, you know, coming, I'm used to losing grand finals, so I'm used to after match functions that are rubbish. But it was a nice, relaxed mood. Weren't a lot of laughing, but there weren't a lot of sadness. You know, the boys actually, I think, well, it's over now. We didn't win. Nobody was going on about the VAR. It was just we could beat 1-0. What a great season. Let's look forward to next season. Some of the mums and dads were there and the families were there, and it was actually a really nice night. I got up and said a few words. Ernie didn't want to speak. And, you know, we just congratulated everybody for their achievements. And it was a real strange kind of mood. It was a nice mood. I'm not saying it was the best night I've ever had, but it was a happy night. It was a night of satisfaction, I think, achievement. So for that night, that was it, forgotten. It was right. So yeah. I don't think there'll be any hangover.
It's good.
When it comes to the squad, there are traditionally some changes. There's always going to be changes every year, and one of the players that we've already seen released is Pato Rodriguez. Were there any considerations, or what the question that we got were around Pato's release, what were some of the considerations in deciding to let him go?
He wasn't good enough. Simple as that. He cost us a lot of money, so we brought him in for the Vargas injury. And so basically, to let the fans know, you get insurance money for injured players over 6 weeks. So Vargas's insurance money paid for Rodriguez to come in. And he came in with big raps. He started the first game of the season against the Mariners and showed what he could do. But then, as a coachable, so not my words, Ernie's words, is very uncoachable. Has to do the damage in the front third apart, wanted to come back and get the ball, and he'd lose the ball, too many nutmegs. Yes, some brilliance. You could see why the boy potentially was played with some top players, because he had some great ability. But actually, to put it on the park was very hard. And there were certain incidents when he was training with the leftover squad and doing extras, and the attitude wasn't so good. And a lot of things off the park that people didn't see. Nothing bad, but just how we expect players to be. He just wasn't the best. And when you bring players in, if they're too hard, if it's too hard to manage, and nothing, there were nothing really, really bad. But a lot of little things, it's just too hard to deal with. And we just decided early that
he wasn't a keeper.
He wasn't a keeper. And it was going to cost us a lot of money to keep. And yeah. I know I saw some stuff on social media, oh yeah, it'd be great coming off the bench. You can't pay somebody hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to come off the bench. Simple as that.
And Visa players are a resource. They're a commodity.
That's right.
And, yeah, it's not something that you want to see coming off
the bench.
I think
we could, basically, putting it simply, we could get more for the money elsewhere.
Okay. Matthew Redenton is a player that's already coming in. What are you looking for him to bring to a squad? And can we just actually, before we answer that, can we clarify, Matthew is coming in as a visa player?
Yes, he's a Kiwi international, so he's classed as a visa player. He's played, I think, 70, 80 games already in the A-League. Young guy, 21, 22, Kiwi international. Steadiness, hard-working, great work ethic. And it suits the Newcastle makeup. You know, the fans, yeah, we want a bit of razzle-dazzle, but you have to have boys who do all the hard stuff as well. And he's another addition to that squad. Ernie's coached him. Joe Griffiths knows him well because Joe was over there too. Glenn Moss knows the boy, quite close with him, and just a great lad. And he'll be here in a few weeks, and really looking forward to coming in and coming to Newcastle.
Excellent. Ronnie Vargas is also sticking around for a further season. He obviously has been identified very quickly, even in that first three games, as a real fan favourite. But and maybe we didn't, because of his injury, we didn't see the very best of him. We could see parts of it, and there was a couple of games there where he, from the sidelines, we could see he's a little bit timid in regards to his tackle, but that's fully understandable. But also, I imagine there would have been offers for him elsewhere to go, and so was it hard to convince him to hang around?
No, he loved the town, which is quite an easy selling point for us. Once you get the boys here, it's like, this is great. We want him, Ernie want him, the fans want him. First three games, still wasn't fully match fit, then he got the injury. And I think when he got the injury, I think the way we looked after him, I think as though, and this is just my feeling, that he felt as though he owed the club and the town something, because sometimes as an international player, if you're in some of these European countries, you get injured like he does, you're just tossed in the corner, you'll not get paid, your money's late. He was well looked after. So I think he felt as though he owes the town something. Then when he started coming back in and getting fit, I thought he was a bit underdone myself. I thought when we lost the three games, and this is again my opinion, no Ernie's. Ernie sees him every day at training. I thought we carried him a wee bit. He showed wee glimpses. But in that first half hour, 35 minutes of the grand final, and that's when he can run out of legs, which is expected, I thought he was a magician. I thought he was... Some of the stuff he was doing with the ball, it was just about talking back to him. You know, he was flicking it round, he kept the ball. He showed, that first 35 minutes just showed what potential this guy's got. So, and people, I can see, oh yeah, we're going to get a marquee player. Vargas is a marquee player. Vargas is a very highly paid player that we've stuck by for the second year. And that's not saying we're not going to go and look for other players, but Vargas will be a marquee. And he's a great addition to the squad. He got the ball out of his foot after the grand final, and he said even with that, getting that out was what a difference, because his movement was just maybe only a couple of percent, his movement was just missing a bit, but as soon as that bolt's come out, he said it was night and day. What a feeling. So he'll be back for pre-season and looking for a huge season next year.
Look, and I know all the fans that I talk to are just extremely excited to see what he can do next season for us.
Imagine the boy fit. It'd be dangerous, you know.
Extremely.
Going back to the grand final, if we can, for a sec, it's been well publicised.
How things change in 2 years? You used to ask me about the 2008 grand final. But at least now we can not talk about that anymore.
I wish I was talking to you about doing another Championship Chronicles. It'd be fantastic. Maybe we'll keep that on the back burner. Roy, the club are appealing his suspension, his 10-match suspension. Can you talk us through, I guess, the process that the club's going to follow with that, and anything else that you'd like to shed light on?
So the PFA, their lawyer, Angela, she was president, and the PFA actually get a barrister. So they invest in the player. We had the appeal night because it got passed in at the first appeal because they thought it was over 4 weeks. So they passed it upstairs to the big guys. Roy was on. He was on a video conference, so he was there. He was present for all 2.5 hours, and then the deliberation came down 10 weeks. And you know, I'm thinking 2 to 4 weeks. I think the PFA were thinking 6 weeks, but nobody ever thought it'd be 10 weeks. Although there's some punters in the media saying that, but I don't think they've played at a high level. You know, in my opinion, the ball's there to be won, you go for it. people forget that Roy put his body in the lineup the other end 15 minutes before it and got his jaw shattered, his nose shattered, and his eye socket shattered in an incident that went unnoticed. And that did affect his vision. You could see with his eye, it was pretty bad. But we've now appealed. Whether we think we can win or not win, we have to appeal because 10 weeks is a long time.
Yep.
Longest suspension. Two more than Muscat's suspension. And
other than Vukovic, I suppose.
Yeah, Vukovic for touching the referee's hand. So we have to appeal it to do the right thing with Roy. And the PFA are fully behind us as well. So any reduction we can get now will be a bonus. Mm-hmm. But, the big thing for the club is if we've never went past the first round of the FFA Cup.
That's true.
But if we got to the final of the FFA Cup, now the FFA Cup, all clubs take it serious, but it's even more serious for us because that can be 5 games.
Yeah.
And then Roy's back in 3 weeks. Oh, no, that's if he got 8 weeks, if it's reduced. But it starts making it manageable rather than 10 weeks. It's a third of the season. Mm. And that affects us. Salary cap-wise, a third of... So now instead of getting... We were looking for a secondary striker to be a play with Roy, but play off Roy, Roy's out, blah, blah, blah. Now we have to look for a main striker who can maybe play wide.
Mm.
So you're paying full freight. You're going up a notch here for your payment. So Roy's money's tied up. They're not doing nothing because he's suspended, but we have to pay him. So it's actually affecting our salary cap, how we recruit players now. So it's not just his suspension, it's the flow on for that.
So Roy is under the salary, we spoke last year, beginning of the season, he was a marquee.
He would have been a marquee, but Vargas was a marquee, Roy, we never need to put Roy up.
Cool. Is there potential with the club's appeal that the suspension could be increased as well?
Potentially, yeah. If the new panel come in and think he deserved more, but I find that highly unlikely to happen, but it could. You're leaving yourself open for that.
A question that I got from Peter is around not so much the disciplinary process, but more around the injury that Roy sustained, and I guess Lawrence Thomas sustained. He copped a few head knocks. It's something that's quite prevalent in sport at the moment around concussions, yep, and those sorts of things. Has there been any discussion from the CEOs or with the FFA around what constitutes leaving the field or clearance for players that are suspected of having a concussion?
Roy got a concussion test at the side of the park.
Yep.
And he was fine. So he never had concussion, but he did have blurred vision on one eye, mm-hmm, where he got the elbow. And then the submission for the thing, when he put his foot up, that's when he was kind of leaning back, that's when he got blinded with the floodlight. So it did affect his vision. He described it as if you squeezed your eyes, like you put your hand over your eyes and really squeezed it, and you take your hand away and you see the spots.
Mm.
That's what his vision was like from that side.
Mm.
He'd won a couple of headers just before that coming in from our right because he was going up and his main eye was his right eye.
Mm-hmm.
But coming for that side, he lost track of the ball.
It also affects your depth of field as well regards to where you...
He says he was going to go for his head, but then the ball faded a bit, so he just launched out his foot. And it was a matter of inches, 46 inches away from making contact on that ball.
Mm.
And who knows what can happen.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And look, he's 50 centimetres or so further away from Thomas, and he misses him completely. No one's talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, right. Or he's a little bit earlier and Thomas clatters into him. No one's talking about it.
And how many times do you see a goalkeeper stop when they see a centre-forward going for a ball?
Mm.
Thomas never stopped, and neither did Roy.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for clearing that up. But I guess we'll move on now to the Hong Kong tournament.
Yeah, that question from PV4 asks, who were the standout players, you thought, from our point of view? In the
first two games, none. We've went there, 90-metre field length, 55 metres wide, so it's a big field, seven aside.
Yeah.
That's including the keeper. 7 minutes each half, 1 minute break at half time, so it's high tempo. The first two games, for some reason, and it's man for man, it's like playing futsal, it's man for man, playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But we seemed to have a spare man, we just could not get it in our heads, and we'd actually runners, no offsides, we'd actually players running through and stopping because they just thought it was offside. So the two teams who beat us 3-0, Rangers 3-1, Newcastle, went on to play the final.
Yep.
The third game we actually played, we played the Hong Kong Football Club and dominated, should have won, we get beaten in the last minute, but we got it. It clicked. The next day we played three games, Wellington, Hong Kong under-20s, which was their Asian Cup team, and then a Hong Kong select team, and we beat them all because we got it. So we competed. The English Premier League teams were five of them there. They were under-23s. Rangers were under-20, a bit older than us. The Hong Kong under-20 team was 18s, 19s, 20s. We were 16s, 17s, 18s. So we did well. And the organisers came up to us at the end and says, nobody comes here and wins something the first year. You know, credit yourselves and we want you back next year.
Oh, great. You know, well, that's one of the questions.
The last two games, we were live on Hong Kong TV and Chinese TV.
That's massive, isn't it?
And you can't buy that. Martin was unfortunately there the first day when we lost three games. So he's like, oh, shit, I've asked the boss to come here and played like this. And why did I bother with the tournament? But tournament-wise, Kieran Hayes was the outstanding player. Scored a hat-trick, put his body on the line. And as he did at the weekend against Charlestown, he scored a goal there as well. But on the day, Angus Thurgate got one of the goals. Kent Harrison got one of the goals. But Kieran Hayes was the outstanding.
Yeah, that's good.
Because he's a good athlete and good engines. But the boys got it.
Yeah.
Because it's a different game. Going back there now next year, we go there and you're playing against some of these English boys were at Men Mountains. These guys were monsters. We Jack Simmons, 16-year-old, I don't think he's shaving yet, against guys who are 6'4", with beards on their beards. You know, these were big units. And but we handled it all right.
So you're saying when we go back next year, we'll have a bit more experience?
A lot more experience. And our boys compete it physically. Strength-wise, not, you're never going to compete with these guys. But physically, as in football, and the speed of the game, we handled it.
Yeah,
once we got to grips with the format after two games.
Yeah. And you said that was on the Hong Kong and Chinese TV. So what sort of audience do you think?
We're waiting to know those figures, but just on, I think Matt, our media manager, posted seven videos because obviously the Newcastle University come on board as a sponsor, which was huge. And I think we had about 870,000 impressions off those seven. Twitter, Instagram, but about 870.
That's
huge.
Content, which is massive.
Massive numbers.
Well, you look, the Rangers, so Rangers were tagging us in their tweets. Rangers, I thought it was the Rangers, and I'm a Rangers fan, I thought it was their official website. It wasn't, it was their academy website, which had 40,000 Twitter followers on there. We weren't just getting exposure in Hong Kong. Like, we were getting exposure in Glasgow and all around about Scotland, around about the world, because Rangers are a worldwide known club. Newcastle United, massive. So the exposure Newcastle as a whole got, and that's a big thing. It's not the same with the Grand Final. It's not just about the Jets. It's about Newcastle as well.
Absolutely. And those sort of numbers are just above what the Jets dream would get.
Yeah. So we're and then obviously the youth team will go back to the UEFA Cup this year, which last year was huge as well. Yeah. I think Jets Dream should get their sponsors to send them over there for the competition.
Yeah, but I'm available. Are you available then?
About the 25th, 26th of July, the boys will go back over there again for that tournament, play five games, and great experience for the boys.
Well, we'll put you down as someone who can put a word in for us. But, I guess if we move on from the Hong Kong tournament and we start to look at next season, where are we at in terms of squad sizes? By our count, we haven't seen an announcement about Costa Petratos. Is he the only player that remains off contract? No,
Costa's signed. Costa's re-signed. One player's coming off contract. It's not been announced yet. When does this go to air?
I can... Probably tomorrow, maybe the next day, late in a couple of days.
So we need to get an announcement out. Mario Chabot's moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So he's moved on. So there'll be a press announcement coming out in the next couple of days about that. Everybody else is there. Maybe one or two could still go, and maybe one or two more could still come in. So they could still be, there's a bit of movement in that squad.
Yeah, okay. Mario, moving on for football opportunities?
Yeah, like he was keen to keep him. Mario saw his chances better off somewhere else because probably he's with a decent squad, and he thinks he maybe can go elsewhere and get more game time in the first team. That's what he needs. And we're not going to stand in his way. A lovely boy, great lad about the dressing room, and you know, he had a hard season with his father passing away during the year and stuff like that. So, you know, we wish him all the best. He was a good lad.
Yeah. Steady Jacks asked, what key positions is the club looking for to strengthen that squad? You mentioned a bit earlier there about a striker, and you're looking for maybe a second striker, depending on
ideally, our main focus at the moment is a striker who can replace Roy, then play wide. And the secondary signing would be another wide person. So we're happy with midfield, happy at the back, happy in goals. That's basically the two spots we want to strengthen.
That's the general consensus from the fans as well, from what I'm reading.
And Ernie's strong on, you build for the front. So we need a bit more depth. But as I said before, Roy's fit. Roy plays every game. We're looking for somebody to back him up.
Yep.
And then you're looking for a wide player. Now we're looking for a main striker who can play wide as well.
Yeah.
Michael Thompson asked about Riley McGree and how we are going with, or are we negotiating with Bruges, and what's the likelihood of seeing a return of Riley to the A-League with the Jets?
My gut feel, you know, and it's just being honest, like, I've actually messaged the agent today as we're talking. We'll see if he's in France. I'll see if he's got back to me. I don't think he has as yet.
Hopefully by the time this comes out, he has.
My gut feel is that we won't get him. Our feedback, not from his agent, is that Club Brugge are trying to sell him.
Mm.
You know, it's not a bad video. Real 3 goals against the Mariners and then the Scorpion kick.
Yeah.
But he was just... We've got good relationships with the agents we deal with. He was a phone call, bang, done. And what people don't know, he was a 19-year-old boy. He's the first boy to pick up the goals. He's the first boy to take the luggage off the planes. And he never get played for Club Brugge. We paid him a minimal salary here. He taken a huge haircut on wages. He's on a very, very good contract in Europe. And the deal was he came here for what we could offer him, which was probably less than the average wage. And you take your hat off to the boy, he was outstanding. And wherever he goes, if he cut, we're trying to get him. We'd love to get him. We'd love to pay him more money to keep him. But that's out of hands. So we are trying.
Hmm.
And I'll hopefully speak to the agent tonight. We have spoke to the club, but the club are pretty coy about it. But we are hearing from over that end that they are trying to move him on.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I think it's a credit to the club for trying to get him. And the fans appreciate that for sure, because everybody recognises what a great player he is now and what potential he has.
For a 19-year-old boy, he's just got so much going for him.
Yeah.
And as I said, you look what he came here for. It wasn't the money. It was just game time. And he taking a big haircut. And that says a lot about the boy.
What an impact he had, too.
Oh, absolutely.
An impact all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got people who wouldn't know what a round ball game was, and they're still talking about that Scorpion kick.
I jumped off that seat, and I've jumped up, and then I jumped really up, and I just about passed out of my head. I got a head spin because I saw it going, oh, that's on. Oh, oh, oh. And then I saw the net. And who'd have thought? But who'd have thought a lot of things this season?
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't try, you don't succeed.
Yeah. Look, and the Asian visa spot, is that still happening? And what positions and that and/or nationalities would you be targeting for that?
Obviously Chinese.
Yep.
So myself and Ernie and Lee, the assistant coach, are going to Shenzhen mid-July for a few days to watch Ledman FC train and play. And instead, we had 4 boys come and trial last year who weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And some of these boys were at big clubs, but they were playing the reserves, and they just weren't good enough for A-League. So we're looking at it slightly different, because we can't compete financially with the Chinese teams. So if we can pick a Ledman FC player who would come here just before the transfer window, which is 15th of October... Their season finishes the first weekend in November, so he'd miss 2 games with them. And then he would come into our squad, not necessarily to play straight away, but to get better.
Yeah.
So after a full season here, whether he plays or doesn't play, he goes back to Ledman FC as a better player. And then potentially he's going to be first team, or we'll be hoping he is first team now, but they maybe can then sell him and make more money on him that can be reinvested in. So instead of looking at bringing in a senior player that has to play...
Yeah,
it's not going to be the case. It'll be a player coming here to be get developed to hopefully become a better player for us or Redmond FC.
And hopefully, I guess, consideration for the Asian Champions League as well, because it's a 3+1 rule over there.
Yeah.
Now, Jedipul, who's a continuous contributor to the Jetstream, said the clubs have a high proportion of players coming off contract next season. With the introduction of two more teams in league, what's the club's strategy to mention, there's going to be some money floating around with some new teams coming in, that new high profile they're going to get. So
it's the same as this year. We had a lot of players come off contract this year, and by the time the season came around, they're all signed up and extended.
Yeah.
That's what you do in a football club. You look at what you've got, who's doing well.
Who you want to keep, who you don't want to keep.
Who you want to keep, and you extend them. And we're in the process. There'll be an announcement in the next few days. Somebody who actually signed a contract, 1 year contract's actually now extend it again. So you should ask him if he's quite happy how our recruitment went this year.
And
when's it ever been that Newcastle's actually had a squad of 21, 22 signed after being this final grand final?
It hasn't happened.
Maybe the, I think the first season.
So we've got Ernie's list. I've got about four boys, probably four players at the moment. And I've had a meeting with one of the agents on Tuesday night. I had a meeting. Monday night, sorry, in Sydney. So we're already in the process. So, two of the boys, there'll actually be two boys got upgraded near the end of last season, will begin to extend it another year already. That's not been announced yet.
Yep.
And then there are another four players who we'll start talking to over the next few months. There's no rush to extend them for the next year or 2 years down the track. So, we're already in the process. They've been identified. There's no rush. They're not going anywhere. There are players. And then we'll go through.
Excellent.
Because then you have to look at who deserves it, who's playing well, who's stepped up, and all that stuff.
Yep.
Another question from PV4 is, are there going to be any players that are loaned out similar to the experiences that Champness and Anthony Burke, who's moved
they
on
went
recently?
To America, yep.
They went to Portugal?
Yep.
Or America?
So we sent them to Portugal, and it was a good experience for them. Football wise, wasn't a great experience.
Right.
It was a Division 3 club. They had to fight. They didn't even have training gear some nights. It just, but the experience of living away from home was great. I wasn't happy with the way they were meant to train with the first team. It never happened. They wanted to send two players in January, and I told them no, because Angus Thurgate and Paddy Langios were far better trained with our first team. And Angus went on to make his debut. Paddy got injured. And I said, rather than going to a Portuguese third division team to get treated like part-time players, they'll go backwards. So our decision was not to send them. But it's definitely, we can send players because of the Ledman agreement over there if we think it's going to better them. So
on our terms, rather.
On our terms. Yeah. And or I can send them because I stopped in at Madrid for a couple of days because obviously we'll go there pre-season. But we can send boys for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months to train with a La Liga team, with their reserve team, rather than going to a Division 2's reserve team which plays Division 3, and it doesn't cost Ledman any money, because it costs us money to actually send those two boys there as well. It was an expensive exercise.
Mm.
We can send these boys to Madrid. They'll be watching Real Madrid, Barcelona,
Atletico
Madrid. They're going to go to all these games, and they can train with the Leganés reserve team.
Talk to us about, I mean, it was announced in the Herald at the time of recording today that the team are going to Madrid. Can
well,
you talk 90, to us?
99%. We're looking to leave on the 24th of July, play three games against La Liga teams, come back, fly out of Leganés, or fly out of Madrid on, play Leganés at their stadium on the 4th, straight on the plane to come back for the FFA Cup game that Wednesday night. But we'd be the first team to go to Madrid and play three La Liga teams. I'll have the teams tomorrow. So we're just locking in and getting the airfare. The flights haven't booked yet. And even before that, we might go to China and play two games. So we might. So there are a lot of things up in the air, but the Madrid thing should be all locked in by Friday this week.
That's incredible. It's got to be a draw card for potential recruits that are coming to the team.
Absolutely.
Which other A-League team is taking their side to Madrid.
Yeah.
Well, the hard thing is it's the same time as the UEFA Cup, so I can't be in two places at one time.
Which are you choosing?
Well, I'm going to have to go to UEFA Cup because going back to my mayor days and because I coached in China, you can't be a coach and be a mayor in China. So I'm still big news over there. So CCTV5, the main TV station in China, which covers all sport, they want to do interviews. So for our sponsors, I need to do the interviews so we get exposure in China.
So you need a representative to go over to
So maybe
Spain.
I can go there for a few days first and then go to Madrid. There are a direct flight for Shanghai to Madrid. So
Jetstream are happy to be correspondents. we'll offer for that as well.
And we will. Matt, the media guy, Matt will be coming to Madrid. So there'll be. So we're looking into if we can get games streamed. Fox would be interested in covering the games live if all the production costs are covered at the other side. Mm. But maybe we could. Maybe we can look into getting it streamed. But the boys will be going to the UEFA Cup as well, roughly the same time. But just great exposure for the club.
On two continents, yeah. It's absolutely. You know, and I'm sure other A-League clubs would be looking at it and say, what, you know, because this regional team, you know, they're the big city clubs and they're looking at what they're doing, their fans who
We're over the regional team thing.
Absolutely.
We can't be there and stuff it.
Yeah.
We're big enough and ugly enough to be big boys.
We're a big club, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm a big guy. I'm big ass, big belly.
Jetmaster's question is around the ACL. I mean, the club making preparations for the ACL campaign, and how's it going to work? Have you got any idea how it's going to work? Because, I mean, he's got here that he doesn't want to see the embarrassing defeat like Brisbane. And
Who's ironing on the numbers? That's what we want to know.
Well, who's carrying the sticky tape?
So we're... We think we'll have the first game will probably be February, so we're looking at. We think we'll have a tie team first, so we think we'll have two games tie team. If we beat that, then we go and play probably a Chinese team to get to the group stages. We're not really. We'll look. We might go to China early July, and we'll be treating that as it's going to be early doors for us, but. It'll be flying in 2 days before the game. That'll be like preparation for flying to Asia.
Yep.
Fly one day, get there, train the next day, play the next day. So that'll be good preparation to say, this is what you're up for, boys. This is what you have to prepare for. But we have to look at things now, like physios, fitness trainers, because the team's travelling. We need to look to invest in more backroom staff. More backroom staff, because we're going to be travelling.
That's exciting.
So it's very exciting, but budget-wise, it's more money onto your budget, you know, because you have to get more staff because you're a bigger club. You're actually playing in Asia in the highest competition you can in this part of the world. So the club needs to invest. Again, if we want to be a big club, we have to invest like a big club.
Absolutely, and I suppose that's, you know, that's where we want to be, and that looks like... where we're going. So, look, just getting on to some general questions and around the membership, because to say I think everybody's, all fans are hoping we have a great rise in members next year. And a couple of questions just in regards to the key dates for membership. Have they started, the club started to look at what dates, and will they have the same sort of agreement with the Mariners again?
18th, we're hopeful that the ticket push is the 18th of June. Which is
coming up
in just a couple of weeks.
And the Mariners are keen to lock in the reciprocal rights for the next 2 years.
That's been a great success.
You take as many fans as we do, of course you do. That's a lot of pies and beers. And I had one of the beers, tried to skull it, but that's another story.
Hang on, there has been a question if we can do it.
We will get to that. So the Mariners will have 13 home games. Yeah. We'll not take any games away this year. Okay. We might look at doing it next year because we'll get 14. Ticket prices will stay the same for the third year in a row.
Oh, that's big news.
So we didn't want to look at doing a pay rise, doing a price rise, and I know we'd get it. Because you've made the grand final, you're screwing the fans who have stuck by you for 10 years. No, the prices will stay the same, exactly the same.
That's big news, Laurie.
We finished up. After a slow start, because obviously the year before we had 8,700 members, then obviously finishing bottom, we started a long way behind, and we'd done a lot of promotions, free tickets, all different stuff to generate people.
getting new people to come to games and old people in because of the style of football, and we're winning a few games. We finished up with over 9,000 members. We gave away 300 less this year, so we're probably about 800 ahead of where we were last year, which is great. Our target's 11,300, which is the most when Tinkler came in and dropped all the prices. That's our target. We want to have the most season tickets we've ever had. We've not put up the prices. I think our prices are the lowest in the league. So we're priced like a regional team. We don't want to be treated like a regional, but we'll get the information, but we think we're the bottom priced season tickets.
Right in the sweet spot, that it's affordable.
It's affordable, and we are sticking by the fans who have stuck by us. That's the big message.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I bet you thought we'd be putting the prices up.
I would have understood if they'd gone up, but I was secretly hoping that,
With economic pressures, nobody would have been surprised. There would have been people saying what you just said, but nobody really would have been surprised if they thought about it. So that's a big effort from the club.
Yeah.
Great effort.
Something that's new for the membership this year will be the ACL tickets. How will, and this is a question from PV4, who I don't think has anything else to do bar ask you questions.
I love it.
What's going to be the deal with the ACL tickets? Is it going to be very similar to the final series where members get, I don't expect that we're going to be run off our feet.
I can assure them, you no need to worry. If you look at the past ACL club, I remember 2008 when Newcastle and the Mariners were in, our first game we got about 9,000, which nowadays would be a huge crowd.
Yeah.
The last Mariners ACL game I was at, there'd be 2,000 there, 2,500.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to worry about getting a seat.
It won't be included in the normal membership?
It will not be included because it's two totally separate costs. We've stadium, we have to, it has to be a clean stadium, so the costs actually to cover up all the signage. There are actually a lot of costs. Yep. And a lot of people think, oh, you're going to ACL, you're going to get a lot of money. We will lose, unless you get to like the quarter-final, semi-final stage, you lose a lot of money.
Mm.
So that's why ticket prices will be competitive and stuff like that, because we need to try and cover the costs.
Will members be able to, like in the final series, get their own seats?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, that's, I think, a big thing.
So members,
as well,
will do the similar thing.
Yep.
Members will get certain amount of time to get their own seats, and then they'll go and sell.
Excellent.
Cross that bridge if we get to when we get to the group stage.
And hopefully we do have good support in the towns behind us and the areas behind us, because it's great.
I missed it last time. I was overseas travelling Europe when the last Asian Cup was on.
Korea don't support it. China support it. Japan support it. Australia don't support it.
I'm keen as.
But as you look at Europe, everybody's behind it now.
Absolutely.
So, but they're way ahead of us.
Yep.
But I think we're representing this area, the Hunter region, and we want Hunter region to get behind it.
And I think they will.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hutcho, now you may have already answered this question, but Hutcho
is this asked, John Hutchison? I do speak to him for America, no?
No, I don't think it's a guy that goes under the name of Hutcho.
I know who he's on my Facebook.
Yeah. He's just, as I say, it was done many years ago about under 16s or a certain age group of players that play already in the northern New South Wales get in for free, because that's always a good promo to get their mums and dads in. Has the club thought about doing that?
We did. Kids go free last year.
Yep.
We did it for the summer football, and then we continued it to the end of the season.
Yep.
With reasonable success, roughly between 500 and probably 1,500, depending on how big the game was, kids came along and they had to get a paying adult to bring them in. That was always a paying adult. If we bring, we're not going to start the season with that, because basically we'll lose 2,000 members.
Yeah.
Because you've got kids in the family memberships.
Yeah.
Who basically get in free anyway, because by the time you take the pack price and that out, it's not a lot of money when you look per game what they're paying. We'll be doing certain promos during the season, definitely. Because we want, what's happened this year, people have came for the first time or the first time for a long time and came back, and they're the ones that hopefully this year they'll take up the membership at the beginning of the season.
All right, well, that's a lot of the more serious questions. So we've got some more general questions coming your way, and a few of them, are tongue-in-cheek, but there are some serious ones as well. And the first one is from Ricky too, who wanted to know why you didn't finish your beer at the Coast game last round.
I did after the fifth goal. because when I started at Scullin, it was 4-0. I don't drink beer. I don't really drink. And when the fifth goal got scored, that was my excuse to chuck it in the air. But when I did chuck it in the air, 90% of my half glass of beer went over me. So I did finish it, but I got help with the fifth goal.
Did you enjoy getting into the crowd?
I was going to, I'd coached at Hamilton Olympic. We beat Hamilton that night 2-1. Jumped in the car. My wife was at a place in Terrigal. I was going to just go straight home and watch it. I was listening to the radio. It was 3-0, and I phoned my wife. I said, I can't, I'm having to go to the game. There's no ticket, no pass. So obviously, being the former mayor of Gosford, there are no people at the stadium. Got my the pass, walked behind the goals, and it was brilliant. I had a great time. Went in, had a beer, drunk, sculled a little bit of a beer, got a donut, and then gave somebody a bit of my donut. He was hungry. So it's caring, sharing club, this club. So I got a free beer, got a free donut, and I gave a third of my donut to somebody who was
starving.
You've
even shared your beer with the crowd around you.
Yep, so no, I had a great night. Apparently there were a couple of Mariners fans upset I was in there with jerseys and that one, but then I came out and radio and then I said, well, I've just came from a youth team game, dressed in my gear that I had in my youth team game. Yeah. Nobody, I didn't say nothing when the big banner was put up with me and Roy O'Donovan the first game of the season. I take it on the chin.
Yeah.
Grow up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good fun. It was a very, very fun. It's a very fun season going down to Gosford this year, I've got to say.
It was.
I really enjoyed it.
Great, rowdy, good.
I quite enjoyed it myself, too.
Yeah. And a great fan and a contributor of the Jetstreams, Joel Goodsir, has also asked you, where was the best shandy you've ever had? There might be a bit of a story behind this.
I reckon there might be.
I don't actually have a lot of shandies, but if we'd have won the game in the grand final, that would have been my best shandy I'd ever had. So I don't think I've had my best shandy yet. So Joe,
you'll have it in 2019.
Hopefully 2019, I'll be celebrating after a grand final win from the Jets, having a shandy.
I like the sound of that.
So I've not had it yet.
Question from Mick Skeekin. The Western, can we apply or can we lobby for the renaming of the Western Grandstand? He suggested that Craig Johnson may be a worthy person, but, I mean, the Andrew Johns Stand for his contribution to Newcastle Rugby League.
That's something you can do, because that's like a thing to go to state government. You know, it's a state government stadium, so that's definitely something that could be put forward. They've got a rugby league person, and why not have a football person?
There you go, Mick. Get onto our local state
Mick,
member.
You well, can, if you want to draft something up, we'll certainly push it.
Very good. Belchardo, he asked, who do you think will be chosen to join the league? Who are the two teams, do you think, and why? And who do you think, who do you want to see? And who do you think we will see?
Well, I saw the 15 teams yesterday who've put in the submissions, the FFA. Be nice to go in a away game in Hobart.
I reckon that'd be nice.
So there were, Hobart was in there. I think they're fourth for Sydney, fourth for Melbourne,
Wollongong, Adelaide, Perth,
three from Queensland,
Fremantle. Sorry,
one for Adelaide FC, and you know it's a hard one because some of the clubs that are put in, they're crossing over the borders and that of some of the existing clubs. Campbelltown, Liverpool, well, that's Western Sydney. Oh. So they have to be careful where they put the teams. It's not going to take away for the other squad. Okay, you're going to lose some, but then you get that rivalry and that. So it's Canberra. So to me, Canberra's ideal spot, 300,000 population, but it had Canberra Cosmos. It does well with the W League down there. If it's got the backing, tremendous, because then you're not upsetting anybody. Good stadium, 20,000-seat stadium, whatever it is. So
AIS complex as well.
Yeah. So I think Canberra would be a good pick if they would support it. So that's, I don't know what their bid's going to be like. Then you've got two Sydney currently, two Melbourne currently, one Brisbane. Perth. Frank, it's Fremantle where the bids come in. It's
Wollongong.
And then you've got Wollongong. So if you're not wanting to upset the apple cart, Wollongong and Canberra for me, because I know for a fact that other 10 clubs who are all losing money apart from Melbourne Victory would then go, yeah, I like that one, I like that one.
The cynical among us, or the older ones that are still ranting at the clouds, would be thinking that the DFFA are going to be swayed maybe and possibly by the Fox coverage as well. You know, that's a big money thing that Fox are looking at, broadening their broadcast.
My gut feel is that the A-League clubs will make the decision, because I think within a year that the A-League clubs will be running the A-League.
Yeah, well, that's where we'd like to be for sure, isn't it? Because that's it's proven to work in the Premier League when that happens. So
purely to not if Wollongong's apparently got a strong bid, so is Canberra, but it'll be interesting to see. But depending where your team in Sydney or your team in Melbourne are they going to? Are you just going to have the same amount of support spread over three teams? Yep. You know, that's the worry. So that's where Wollongong and Canberra's big ticks.
What's the flavour like down at the FFA? Are they looking for sustainable clubs, or are they looking to enter new markets, or are they looking to gain rivalries or derbies essentially?
The derbies is a big thing. That's a big thing. But they want clubs to be able to sustain themselves and support themselves. At the moment, clubs rely heavily on the grant for FFA, and the clubs aren't happy with the grant they get. They want more. And that's why all this talk about the independent league. So it's very important that clubs, the game can't afford for another club to fall over. After 13 years, we've had a couple fall over. It can't afford to happen again.
Baldrick's asked in regards to the pre-season this year. You mentioned about going to Spain, which is massive news for the club and the fans. What else is are you taking a game away for a pre-season?
Yeah, we'll probably be back to Port Macquarie. You know, over 4,000 people turned up there. 350 of them turned up at the Sydney FC game. They come down, and the guys up at Port Macquarie have been great. Mid-North Coast football, if we have a Saturday night game around about February, March next year, 5 o'clock kickoff, they want us to promote it as a regional round. They think they can bring 3,000 to 3,500 people.
Yeah, brilliant.
So we've done a lot of work out there engaging again. So we'll look to do that with the Greater Bank Tour. We're going to play Sydney FC. We're going to play Melbourne City down in Melbourne, Sydney FC down in Sydney. We're looking at going to Griffiths to play Adelaide United in the 22nd of September. And then depending how we go in the FFA Cup, because it's quite difficult because the dates are locked in, but they're flexible because they're always 2 dates. And it's always 2 days. So like when we played the Wanderers a couple of years ago, they brung up a youth team because they were playing in the quarterfinals of the FFA Cup on the Wednesday. We played Melbourne City down in Melbourne, was that last year, the year before, 2 years ago. Again, Melbourne City turned up with half a youth team. So it makes it hard to juggle it all, but we've got quite... Ernie's happy with how it's all starting to shape up. The big thing is going to Madrid. If we can chuck in a little cheeky China visit before then, great. Because, again, for Martin Lee, the exposure, it's playing huge. Against Shanghai Shenhua and Beijing Guan.
You know, huge.
Obviously, you're going to chuck Griffo in there. Griffo get over there because he was king of Beijing Guan. And I'm telling you, when I was there with him 2 years ago when we bought the club, he was like the David Beckham of Chinese football. He was mobbed everywhere he went. He was like superstar. I'm telling you.
I can't blame him.
Oh, no.
They're only human.
He's a good looking man. He's a good looking man.
He was getting mobbed in the streets. They finished up, we had to get him out of there.
Wow. Jeez.
During the game, most of the live TV, when the ball was over the sideline, was zooming in on him, and I just happened to be sitting next to him, so I was
rubbing off,
trying to make myself look good.
Just pushing him across. And look, if you go back to Port Macquarie, you've got the Port Macquarie Pele in the team now, so it'll be all good to
big
take
Angus,
him up.
Big Angus, you know, so all the complimentary tickets will be used up in his family.
Question from Ricky T got a couple of questions about jerseys. Is that when are the new kit designs being released? And I guess I'll follow up with are any of this year's designs being retained?
The home strip is slightly changed, I think for the better. If anybody picked up when we sent out the picture of Ronald Vargas, he was in a sample of the new kit.
Everybody's flipping back through their Facebook posts.
So that is the new kit, minus a couple of little things, and he loved it. The goal strip will be more of a white goal strip, but very decent looking, something you chuck on your jeans. And then the third strip is, we're looking to go totally black. Ooh. And it looks pretty, it'll fit, pretty smooth.
Fits in with the coal industry.
And you guys are sitting in my office and you've actually saw it, so you can give your opinion.
I very much like the black kit. Yeah. I very much like the black kit.
One of each.
I'll be going to buy one.
The gear looks good, but we've changed it. Just the home one slightly and the other two. But Naviva, the stuff went very well. You know, at the beginning, a lot of people went, to be fair, the team never liked the gold.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a great gold, to be honest. Dirty gold.
It was like a mustard sort of gold.
The white gold strip is more back to the old gold. Yep. It was more a mustardy, and I don't think we won in it. So we actually
I think we won once, and that was in Perth.
When Johnny
Kay and the own goal.
Is that when Ernie got arrested for stealing 3 points?
Yes. And look, a follow-up question to that is one that regularly comes up. Are there plans in one of the seasons or coming to have a fans voted jersey? Is it something that could be looked at for an ACL? Because the club have done it before. We've mentioned with the away strip 1 year, 3 options were put up.
It's always everything's possible, because for the ACL, it's a totally different kit. Oh, it's predominantly your kit, but just unbranded.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely something. Definitely something we can look at. Well, but obviously, we've got a really good deal, big sponsorship with Viva, so we have to let them help us along. They know what sells.
With the one of the big things, I suppose, over the years, the Jets have struggled to get, apart from their owners, that front of shirt sponsor. You know, we've got a fantastic sponsor in Inspiration Paints with the home, with the away kits and that, but the home kit is, how are we going with that this year, Laurie?
So at the moment it's Ledman, because he's come out and gave us a price and said, if we don't go over that, I'll just stay on the shot.
Oh, okay.
So he's so, and that's fair enough.
Normally, we don't have owners that are in that
and
position.
And you've got Inspirations Paint came back on board. Greater Banco came back on. Yeah. Veolia's back. You know, so we've got a good core group of sponsors now who are all signed up long term. We would love to get a front of the shirt sponsor. Oh, and McDonald's. McDonald's has came on board the back of the shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we signed McDonald's up for 2 years, which is a huge brand.
That's not been announced yet.
I kind of announced when we had the presentation night, I talked to be signed a new marquee. So I'd done the big build-up and nobody knew, everybody's looking. Johnny Katrimba started talking to, who is it? What position is it? New marquee, known all over the world, really good in the air, good left foot, right foot. And then the new signing is
Ronald McDonald.
So he was at the function.
Well, hopefully we can get a bit of a run with VAR. Keep on sponsoring
so
the VAR.
So they've come on the back of the shop and the sleeve of the W League as well.
That's
so
terrific.
Which is the local franchises, so that's huge as well.
Terrific.
The Jets are now certainly a more attractive sponsorship option. Mm.
And it's been hard. Mm. But we've got a few ideas. There are a few Chinese companies apparently interested in stuff, but we'll see.
All right. This is a usual question you get, and it's from the usual person who asked it, but it was followed up by a couple of other people as well and supported. The member for Katara South asks, the jet-shaped hats. I have sent a couple of designs to you.
Viva, I have forwarded them on to Viva.
How are Viva going and progressing with the jet-shaped hats? Because he's...
Stuart, the guy who we dealt with, has left.
That's good. We can get someone new who we can
get something new.
Well, the question was, what's the estimates in terms of money that was lost by not having these in grand final week?
I think the money we'd have lost would have paid for the staff that was busy phoning the members who never got tickets, that we got them tickets so we could get them at the game. To be honest, what happened with the tickets selling out and their members, I don't think I would have noticed if any Jets hats had been so grand final week, to be honest.
Well, we jump back probably quickly. I think that it must be acknowledged, and you can talk about, if you want, what went on behind the scenes with the members that did miss out. Because
it happened, and we had one member come in here and threw their tickets at the girl at the front desk, the season tickets. Joe Griffiths, we found out who that person was, and Joe Griffiths went to the house, chapped the door and went, here's your tickets, and blah, 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 blah. This is what's happened. So nobody thought the grand final would sell out in a day.
No.
FFA, because, so long story, We never had enough for our members. We then went to FFA and said, any clumps of tickets, don't put them straight out to Ticketmaster, give them to us, which they did. We got about 500 and odd. Even the day of the game, Manners, the new coach, Mike Mulvey, came up, he phoned me, said, I've got four tickets, I'm coming to the game. So I got a family, four tickets, blah, blah, blah. They met them at the game, came in. Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC sent us them, FFA sent us them. We had two staff here for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, up until 4 o'clock on grand final day, getting members' tickets. FFA had three staff, so we split. Everybody who emailed in, we split the list. FFA were on the phone, we were on the phone for about 4 or 5 days.
That's a credit to the club, man.
Absolutely, and we got credit to the club.
Probably about 450 tickets we allocated.
Yeah.
That would have just disappeared into people that had still been at the game, but it wasn't our members.
Yeah.
And we did come out with the stance with the scalpers. I made a few phone calls. A few people got, oh, shit, Lauren McKinnon's phoned me, what for? A lot of it, most of them weren't members, but some were. And whether they scalped them or not scalped them, it put the wind up them, because we weren't, if we'd have found out, they would never have been a member again at the club.
Yeah.
And now the laws have changed. That's for the 1st of June, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
That you can't do it anymore. So it taken a bit of a polish off a great week, but it was really satisfying to know that so many people, after the game in the grand final, we'd just been beat, we'd just been robbed, coming up to me in the grandstand saying, your staff were outstanding, phoning me up, blah, 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 getting to the game. It was great.
Well done.
Right, great.
Well done.
Yep.
All right, well, PV4, we'll finish with two more questions from him. Will the Jets Legends F3 Derby happen again this season? Will it happen in Gosford, or will Newcastle fans be treated for it for the first time?
I think we'll be treated for it. So we've got two home games. It will be up here this year.
That's fantastic. Is it organised by the club, external to the club for squad
external,
lists?
External. We've got Luke Alexander, does all the work contacting the players, pulls it together. We supply the kit. And we help out where we can, but Luke and Joe Griffiths was a big part of it.
Yeah, well, Jetstream again, happy to be correspondents.
Yep.
for a bit of game day stuff. And the last question from PV4, how's Labby progressing as a youth coach?
He's got a great mentor.
A very modest mentor as well.
Yeah. No, Labby's look, I'm only doing it so Labby's get his badges. I don't really have time, but I love doing it. It's been great getting back amongst it, getting great amongst it after the game at the weekend with the Charlestown game, and a bit of to-ing and fro-ing going on. But Labby's fantastic coach, got a huge, huge career in front of him. But me being there just now is good for him, because he asks, he wants to learn, and it's not just what's in the coaching book, it's everything else that goes along with being a coach. And he's done a fantastic job, and he'll, by November, he should have his A licence. So hopefully the beginning of November, before the youth league starts, he'll be the head coach. We're fortunate enough, Glenn Moss gives up his time and doesn't get paid. He came along, because him and Labby played together 17 years ago at Sydney Olympic.
Yeah, right.
And now they're back together. Mossy comes down 3 days a week when he can. He gave us the blank on grand final week. I don't know why, but he said he couldn't come to training 3 days. I thought it was pretty poor. But Mossy's there 3 days a week, and his holidays now. During the season, he comes before, we train at 7:30. Mm. He comes there, then goes to his own training, and he trains the goalkeepers, which is, that's the kind of culture we want to build at the club. So next year, Labby will be the head coach. So me and him will be together now, as we are. Mossy's involved, so then Mossy might be, unofficially, he might be a wee bit an assistant coach, but he'll be officially a goalkeeping coach. Labby Lee, our Chinese assistant coach, he'll help out as well. I'll still go to training most days because I can, and I enjoy being there, then coming in here. Then if I've no meetings, I'll just wear my training gear all day. It's great.
Yeah.
But no, the youth team's in a good place. He's learnt a lot off different coaches. Mm. He's got a wee bit, as I've said to him, you take your wee bit of Popovich, wee bit of him, a wee bit of me, wee bit of that, and you put it in a pot and you mix it up, and that's Labby Haliti's coaching style. And he's doing very well.
Good.
And a funny, funny guy.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much, Laurie. That wraps up all of our questions, Grant.
Yeah, no, I've just checked all my questions from Facebook. We've got some really good responses, and again, thanks for your time, Laurie, and your candor and your just having us in your office, mate.
Thank you as well to all the members, the forum members, the people on Facebook, those who listen to the Jetstream for posting in your questions. They were some terrific questions.
And I'd just like to thank everybody who listens and for all your support. And just letting us know round about the 17th of July, we'll hopefully be playing against for the Job Wheelhouse Cup. And that will be the select of hopefully the Premier League. We've spoke briefly, but we have to get this nutted in now. Roughly 22 players for the local competition, half a game each to play at number two. Newcastle wow. Council have said they'll put into football ground that night. Obviously, Job's been a big part of Newcastle Jets and the Newcastle football community, and obviously he's had a few issues, but we just want to hold this game in support of Job and what Job's done for the game. So as long as I'm at the club, our first game in Newcastle each year, pre-season, will be the Job Wheelhouse Cup. So whoever is the Premier League's, the NPL's coach of the year, like Zenny, would be the coach for the night, and Job would hopefully play in this one if he's fit. But then Job will be an assistant coach as part of it. So in honour of Job, recognising people who've put in a lot to the team, we're looking at doing that. And hopefully we can get 2,000 or 3,000 people there.
Wonderful.
How this club can't concede with that sort of culture being built, I don't know. So yeah. We can really see it happening. Mm. It's great stuff.
And thank you very much for your honesty today, Laurie, and for some of the exclusives as well.
A few exclusives in there.
Yeah, absolutely. This is how we make our money, though.
Yeah, we haven't made a cent either. We just do it for the love. So thank you very much, Laurie, as always, for your time. We'll probably speak again prior to the season. I'm sure that the members will have some more updates.
We could do a live interview in Madrid.
I don't see the problem with that. I think we might have a few people that are interested in jumping on board that. Grant, thanks as well for coming down.
No problem. Loved it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening as well. So you can find us on newcastlefootball.net/podcast. The Chronicles are also up there if you do want to listen to them. Also Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us all on there. So thank you very much for listening. Till then, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.